It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, you listen to Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Here we go again. I cannot say Grillin' Guys Talk Network clearly. Almost one time out of a month, I get that straight, and then I jab it up the rest of the time. But anyway, I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. You listen to Grilling Guys. What's cooking, Bob?
It is a network, and I hope your neck works.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us. We appreciate you taking a little time out of each week to hang around with us and talk about throwing a piece of flesh on a grill and charring it up and making everybody happy.
Or yeah. Even vegetables.
Jop loves his squash. We're not going to talk about squash this week.
No vegetables. This is an all-meat show.
It's a carnivore show.
Yeah.
Carnivore special. We're getting ready for bow camp, and so we're recording early. Jop's heading off to Shartucky, and I'm going to stay home this weekend.
Are you?
Well, I'm working.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And you're in the world of camping, and people buy those things on the weekend.
Yes,
imagine
they
that.
Do.
That's good, but... Anyway, yeah, I am headed down to Charlotte, where I grew up, and this is my annual trip. It's like a class reunion. A bunch of guys that I went to high school with, now we're all old, and we get together, and we tell the same stories, and eat some food, and drink some beer. And,
but there are some animals down.
Well, there are, and somebody will bring venison. It won't be me, because I don't even take a weapon. The only weapon I bring is that Goodwin smoker.
Oh, you're not going to bring your crossbow?
No, I'm not. who am I kidding? I don't get out in the tree. I got about 30 guys to feed one night and about 60 to feed the next night.
Well, you got that beautiful crossbow from Allen Bob's.
Well, I got it.
You got to use it.
Right, I got it.
It might freeze up on you.
It gets used later in the year, just not this weekend. But anyway, so throughout the show, I'm going to drop a few recipes on you of the things that I'm making along the way. And... we're just going to have a little bit of fun with it and, then a few other things that we're going to talk about.
So here's the way this rolls. See, I wanted this motorhome real bad, and I wanted a mule real bad. So
the mule is like a utility vehicle,
yeah, it's
right?
A six-seat side-by-side.
Not with big ears and four legs.
No, not the Grand Canyon kind.
Okay.
So I've been selling off everything. So I got the bright idea to sell my big trailer smoker because I just don't use it.
I'm going to call that a different adjective. That wasn't the brightest idea you've ever done.
Well, actually it was, because I'll use the mule weekly, and I was using that.
Pull mine up out of the woods so you can use my smoker.
And Jop
it's
was,
okay.
Jop
it's,
was dumb enough to store my old one at my house, so
right.
I know that thing inside and out.
His
so.
Old one, my new one.
His
right,
new
yeah.
one. So voila, I have one to use. So
which
I am,
is great. That's
I am
fine.
Going to leave here and build a fire, and I'm going to do a bunch of chicken and some brisket and butts. And I work at Camping World, and the sales staff there is very big. There's like 50 people I have to feed. And so the general manager asked me, of course, they're all into grilling and smoking. And
sure.
So they're all excited, and they're like, so we want to do – he hits me yesterday. He goes, yeah, so Fridays are once a month when we make lunch for everybody. What do you think about some brisket and butts? I'm like, wow, nothing like a little prep time. So I'm thinking, I don't have my big trailer smoker, and Jop's gonna haul his smoker down to Shartucky. So I'm in a bit of a bind. So he's gonna make some accommodations for me so I can use his chuck wagon, and I'm gonna get everything done. So the deal is. As you know, anytime you do barbecue for people like that, if you bring brisket and butts and chicken, what goes first?
What do you mean, what goes first? The brisket will be gone.
Yeah.
The brisket will be gone.
So the sales manager, whom I'm indebted to because he's going to be my lifeblood, says, we got to make sure we have some brisket up here in the tower, which is what they call this elevated platform where all the muckety-mucks sit and watch the... It's a giant store, so there's a lot of activity. There's sales desks for RV guys like me, and then there's this big camping store. And there's people all over the place all the time, and I'm like, okay, I know how to handle this. Don't worry. We'll have a brisket that goes to the tower separate from
right,
you
yeah.
guys.
Yep, exactly.
I know where brownie points lie.
Right. Yeah, so, and that accommodation is something that we need to talk about a little bit, not because I'm doing it, but because variables happen when you're grilling. right? And the accommodation is that I've got, over these 2 days, I'm doing ribs, turkey, brisket, chicken thighs, chicken wings, and a pork loin.
So nobody's hunting. They're
right,
all sleeping.
Right, yeah, because they're going to be full. In addition to some sides and a whole bunch of appetizers that we'll talk about in a minute.
A little tryptophan will be kicking in.
Yeah,
there.
It will. But so what I can do, because Bob needs the smoker till noon, and I was going to head out at noon, I got to feed guys at like 6 or 7 o'clock at night. By the time I drive an hour, get it set up, get everything going,
get
I'm
going to
be cooking
going.
At 3 or 4, right? And so that doesn't give me time to do a brisket. That doesn't give me time to do ribs, really.
Well, you should be there by 1 o'clock. You can have a fire ready by 1:30.
Yeah, but it's still, I don't want to rush it. Like
abba
you,
abba abba.
I want it done when I want it done. You know, we got to have it done an hour or two before. Everything rests real well. You keep it in a dry cooler,
right.
And you're not stressed. Right, because there's a bunch of appetizers that need to be grilled and or smoked as well, and they're going to need to be made. So what we're going to do then is we're going to save the brisket, we're going to save the ribs for
Saturday
and I'm going to do chicken thighs and a pork loin, and I'll talk to you about this pork loin in a minute, because I think I've done it in the past. It's popular. People really like it. I'm gonna butterfly it out, lay it out. I'm gonna put some stuffing in it, roll it back up like a jelly roll. There you are. That's what it is. You can put any variety of vegetables, stuffing, whatever you want inside.
Peppers
of that.
And onion.
Right. You want to keep it a little bit moist.
A little bit of Parmesan.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And then we roll that thing up, truss it with butcher twine, put it on the smoker, bring it to about 145, 150 internal temperature so it doesn't dry out. And let it rest for a half hour, and then we'll cut it up.
I might wrap it in bacon.
Yeah, I did that one time. But here's the deal. When you roll that thing up, you need to put the trussing on it to hold, keep it rolled up. And then I put the bacon over the top, and it was tough to fish out the truss strings.
You got
to
truss it with the bacon on it.
Yeah, but it won't stay together once I roll it up.
You make a weave out of your bacon. You put it on wax paper.
Right.
You roll that thing up, and then you set it on that weave, and then you roll the wax paper up. And it'll be just fine.
I understand, but
then you trust
the
it.
Problem I had.
Bacon wants to fall apart.
Yeah, before and the roll wanted to come unrolled before I got it trussed.
You got issues.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe I do, but maybe we'll try it that way because everything's better with bacon. And
yes,
then you get,
it is.
Then you get two sides of pork,
yes,
right there. And you get the loin,
right.
And you get the. The bacon to
so
go with it.
So that internal temp's going to 145 in the center?
That's what I'd like it to
so
be,
So your
yeah.
outer will be 160. That's why you need the bacon.
Right. Yep, because it'll
and
dry
then,
out if it doesn't.
Then you get done, you wrap it in foil for about a half hour, or wax paper.
Butcher paper, whatever.
Something.
Right.
Actually,
saran wrap
to keep the moisture in.
Right.
Saran wrap will work.
Right.
Because your temperature is only 160 on the outside.
Right. And you want it warm when you serve it.
Yes,
yeah.
And you want to keep it from steaming off and losing too much moisture.
Right.
And that bacon will love it.
Right. Yeah, right. It will. So anyway, but that's one of the first things I'm going to do then, and we'll get that done. I'll, and here's the thing, is when you're doing one of these big cooks like this, there's certain things you can do ahead of time. And we'll talk about all the various things, whether it can be done ahead or not. That one, when we get it rolled, we get it stuffed, and we get the bacon around it, that'll hold a couple days in the fridge before you cook it.
Yes.
So that'll be done either tonight or tomorrow.
In
I mean,
kitchen,
we're recording
right.
this on Wednesday,
right.
So it'll be done tonight or tomorrow. So when I get down there, it's ready to go. I don't have to mess with it.
And now you have an extra set of hands at home, so putting that trussing on might work.
Yeah, right. Yep, exactly.
As long as you're not playing any footsies
right.
or anything.
Well, you know, there's trussing and then there's fussing.
And ooh, that was close.
It rhymed. Yeah. I took advantage of it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Taking the G-rated version.
Oh, gosh. So are you doing sides for the guys
yeah.
at Camping World?
Also, the funny thing is Steve says to me, do you make beans? I go, yeah. He goes, I love baked beans. I go, okay. Well, then you'll have some bitchin' beans.
Right. Award-winning bitchin' beans. We've won with that recipe, and we both do it pretty similar to one another, but that's cool. Yeah, I'm doing the beans as well. They wanted to pass on the mac and cheese. They wanted tossed salad instead.
So attaboy.
I'm like, well, we can feed the healthy
boys.
That'll
fit your diet better.
Yeah, exactly. But lots and lots of protein, and it's going to be fun. So coming up next, Bob might use the spit for a couple things or a Brazilian at camp. You never know who shows up. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We're recording early this week because bow camp has started. We're in October now, October 3rd, and I'm headed down to Shartucky, as you probably heard in the previous segment, and Barbecue Bob's doing a cook at his work. And I don't know if I'm going to have any venison or not. I know I'm not bringing it, but there'll be 20 guys there that hunted potentially on Saturday morning, so I'm betting one of them will pop a little buck or a doe and bring some venison over. So I'm going to throw in the tech in addition to the smoker. And what I think I'm going to do is bring some vinegars and some flavored oils down from our friends at Old World Olive Company.
Yep.
And make sure I have that and a little bit of seasoning with me, and we'll cook up some on-the-spot venison if it shows up.
That'd be nice.
Did the same thing with duck, too, because it's duck season. And a little bit later in the show, I'll talk about, I went up north last weekend to the UP, caught a couple fish, not many, but the duck hunters were thick, really thick up there in the UP. So, and I got a duck recipe, too, that we might do. So, but anyway, you want to talk a little bit about meat on a spit.
Yeah, because, the tough thing about getting back out of your blind at 6-7 o'clock at night is everybody's hungry, and it's dark, and depending on what you're camping in or cabin or whatever, it's kind of a tough time to get something going. So one of the ways you can offset that is to, like we always talk about the Dutch oven, that's always easy. You can set some stew next to the fire, chili, whatever. But what we like to do is a friend of mine is big on his battery-powered spit, and I've gotten to be quite fond of using it. I found one that I'm going to buy. It's made in Australia. It's called barbecuespitrotisserie.com. It's an Auspit, A-U-S-P-I-T, Aussies. It's all made in Australia. It's really good-looking stuff. It's a little on the pricey side, but it's heavy-duty, and it's not made by the CCP, so you're not funneling money to overthrow your country.
So what's so unique about it?
Well, it's just made beautifully. It's heavy duty, and I did some time in Australia in the Air Force, so I'm very fond of the Aussies. I served with them, and they're just a great bunch of blokes and Sheilas, of course.
Right.
But one of the things that I've gotten to be really fond of is a Brazilian style. So those spits are nice for a Brazilian style barbecue, and basically it's a nice long rod spit, and you take your different cuts of meat. Typically, if you're going to do beef, you're going to use steak cuts, steak varieties, and you can mix a little onion or some sort of other flavor profile between the cuts if you want. But you sandwich them all together, you put your tines on the end, and then you put it on this battery-powered spit, and you literally set it next to your fire so that the radiant heat from the fire does the cooking. And you're going to have to practice this because what you want to make sure is that it's done when you're back and not overdone.
Mm-hmm.
Because
well,
it,
that's
got to
be a little bit of a challenge because you're doing this on a wood fire, an open fire. You're going to set it to the side, I'm assuming,
yep.
And maybe rake some coals over so you're getting some really direct radiant heat, but
right.
No flame, right?
Right.
Yeah, and depending on how much of that you rake over, depending on how far that your piece of meat is above that heat, there's some variables
typically,
that are happening there.
The way I'm talking about doing it, you don't even rake the coals over. You set it next to your fire. And you put some oak on there that'll burn a long time, or hickory, whatever you've got in the woods. And the heat is on the side of it, like a lot of grills will have an infrared burner on the back and the rotisserie is spinning in front of it. So your heat's coming from the side, which doesn't matter. In this case, it's just wood, so I mean, you've got tons of it to burn. And you'd want to have your fire going for a few hours before you get this set up, so you got a great bed of coals. And then you put one good long burner on it, a whole piece of wood, so you'll have fire for several hours. Because, like, I'm usually in my tree by 3:30, and I'm back around 7. So you're going to need 3.5 hours of heat.
Right.
And you don't want to overcook it. So
and
I
you don't want it to burn out.
I say it practice. And it might be a little low when you get back, but I'd rather it be a little behind and then just speed it up
right.
than to have to... eat overdone meat.
Right. Now, we have a grill that we traded some advertising for with our friends over at Vicky's Pasty Shop, and that's a stainless steel box that we only use that for a charcoal rotisserie.
Right.
And that, of course, is, I guess, what I would call a more modern piece of equipment.
Yes.
I mean, it's got a coal bed that raises and lowers, and the rotisserie rod's 7/8, so you can put up to like 150 pounds on that thing if you
right.
want to do a small hog.
Right.
Or whatever it is, that's a little more easy to control because it's air in.
And you're there with it.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
When you go to these Brazilian steakhouses, they have, like the one I was at in Atlanta or Orlando, I was in a couple different ones, but they'll have, the one in Atlanta was cool because they had plexiglass sides around the firebox and they had just a tower of meat and rotisseries going. So you had this visual that was just incredible.
Right.
And, of course, they keep pulling the stuff off the bottom and shuffling it all down based on the temperature they're trying to get to and getting closer to the fire. But then you've got this big spit, and you take it around, and you literally hold it over the plate, and you carve down the side, and you shave off pieces of
right.
meat, and it falls onto the plate. And it's just a meat fest.
Sure.
It's
yeah.
just a meat fest. A good one.
Right. A very good one.
yeah.
And sometimes you eat too much when you do stuff like that. And they have a lot of different varieties of meat
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. So you can do a Southern style. And for that, very often you'll do chicken. And for that, I'm going to go with skinless, boneless chicken thighs. And I might put some prosciutto in between them. I might put some Canadian bacon. I'm going to probably throw something in there just because I love the look of layers. And then I'm going to hit it with some kind of a Southern barbecue profile. And that, for your chicken lovers, is fantastic. Now, you can do chicken on one end, and you can do your beef on the other. Or lamb, or whatever you want to stack up like that. Let's say you want to do a bunch of gyros. Well, you can get a bunch of lamb, and you can make your gyro meat that way. You can literally buy a section of the gyro meat and put that on there, because that's what they do when you're at a gyro shop. They have them standing up in front of an infrared burner, spinning off, and they just carve it right there as you're waiting for your meal to get made, and it keeps cooking. And that's the beauty of it. You get down to some stuff that's not quite done. You just throw it back on and you let it keep turning.
Right.
And the nice thing about a rotisserie is it rolls so that the juices kind of roll along with it. It doesn't all just drip off. So it's kind of self-basting in that regard, and you can actually baste it as well. But a spit, and this place is called BBQSpitRotisseries.com. They're out of Australia. Check out their website. I mean, if you're not enamored with it, fine. But I was absolutely blown away, and we want to have those people on the show.
Sure, and I'm sure in the near future we will. We just couldn't make it work today. Sure. So, Bob, one of the appetizers that I'm going to talk about real quick that we're going to do at Deer Camp is a thing called a moink ball. And a moink ball is just a meatball, a frozen meatball. You can make them yourself. I bought frozen ones. I'm going to wrap a piece of thick bacon around it, secure it with a toothpick, put those in the smoker. That'll bring the meatball up to temperature, let the bacon get a little bit crispy. And then I take a sweeter barbecue sauce and cut it with cherry juice so I get a little bit of tartness to it. And then I put a little chipotle pepper in there to get a little zip. And you dunk these things. They're on a toothpick. It's a handheld appetizer, which I love at parties. And you just dip it in this little spicy, sweet sauce.
Sounds
fantastic,
good.
Fantastic, man.
Sounds good.
They're good. People go crazy for these things, and it's a relatively cheap one to do. So, coming up next, it's the Full Belly Deli. We're going to talk with Tom Grant from Pitmasters Butcher and Bayside Market in Traverse City. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey. And we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. We are live from our studios in beautiful downtown Grand Rapids. We've been talking a little bit about this fall hunt getting going and getting our camp together and planning to feed a bunch of people here this weekend. And Barbecue Bob, you and your travels have ran into a new friend.
Well, I'm thinking some people aren't going hunting, but they might be going on wine tour like we did a couple weeks
ago
in Traverse City.
Absolutely.
And we are at the state campground in our motorhome, and right down the street is this place that I've been to plenty of times before, but I never got a chance to meet the pit master, and his name is Tom Grant. It's called Butcher Bayside Market. Tom, welcome to the Grilling Guys.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Great. Jop is here chomping on some of your truffle meat sticks.
Very tasty.
Nice.
Very tasty.
Yeah, that's a good recipe, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I'm just thinking folks going up north are always looking for, at least our listeners, are always looking for that secret little honey hole that has some great meat. And you not only have a great meat counter, but you have lots of other libations and things. You got a great wine selection, and of course I saw a mountain of vodka there, so you've got something for everybody.
Did you see it or did you touch it?
I just saw it.
Okay.
So Tom, tell us about what you prepare there and what that big smoker out back does for you.
Oh, the smoker is great. As I was talking with you for a little bit, I haven't done this kind of work in a while, and it's nice to get back into it. It's a passion of mine. And, you know, in the smoker, well, first of all, let me start out by saying every Friday we have we do smoked ribs, smoked chicken, smoked wings, and that's every Friday. We start that at 4:30 in the afternoon, and that's always a big turnout. We usually sell out of that pretty fast.
I bet.
And other than that, you know, we do a lot of homemade jerky. As a matter of fact, before you called, I was just bagging up. We did some alligator jerky, and it turned out really, really good.
Now, is that all tail meat, Tom? Is that what you use, the tail meat for that?
Correct. Yep, tail meat. And we brined it for 24 hours, and then we seasoned it with some thyme, garlic, salt. And that was pretty much it, and it turned out just fabulous. I can't wait for people to try that.
So does it taste like chicken?
No, tastes like gator.
Tastes like gator, right? Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it is a little bit chewy, but it's not overly chewy. You know, it turned out really well. It's kind of moist. So we're happy with how it turned out.
So, Jop, Tom's using a Southern Pride. He's got a big stainless smoker in the back, and that's a wonderful piece of equipment. Easy to leave alone. You can put your food on it and, of course, put your log in, set your temperature, and roll.
Exactly. We use sawdust here for the smoker.
Oh.
And it works out really well. It does. And like you said, the temperature stays constant on that thing, which makes my life really easy. I can throw it in and kind of walk away and set a timer on my phone and come back and check a temp, and usually it's ready.
Well, especially being in northern Michigan in the wintertime, it's nice having that stainless insulated box.
Yes. Oh, for sure. Oh, and another thing I just tried for the first time, you know, I had some meat that was we had to use up pretty darn quick here, so I ground it up, and I used a really good meatloaf recipe, and I turned it into some homemade meatballs, and I put those in the smoker, and oh my gosh, they turned out so good. I've never done it before. It was just, it's great.
Yeah, I just talked about a recipe in the last segment where you do that same thing, but then you wrap a piece of thick-cut bacon around it and let it all smoke together. They're called moink balls. And right, and meat and oink, right? So anyway, yeah, those turn out really well. I bet your customers would enjoy those too. The next time you do it, throw a piece of bacon around there. Yeah,
you just gave me a great idea. I'll have to try that next time.
Yep, exactly.
Well, we did. I got fond of doing meatloaf back when I was using a big green egg. I would put my big stone on top, and I'd throw a couple of meatloafs on it, and it got to be such a favorite that I made them like almost weekly, and
really?
My buddy who owns Chase Creek Smokehouse, Pat, heard that episode and he tried it because it piqued his interest, and he called me up and he said, "Man, that meatloaf idea was great. We sell out of it every time I make it." So, meatloaf's another one. It's a little easier than meatballs because you don't have so many pieces. You know, you can just form up your loaf in a bread pan. Tip it over on the rack and let it smoke away.
Yeah, you know that, or even do some smaller, single or double portion meatloafs and do it that way as well.
Yeah,
that's a great idea.
Yeah, use the small bread pan to form those. Yeah, that would be. Then you could serve them an entire meatloaf.
Right. Yeah, just on your plate. Yeah.
Yeah. Besides jerky and stuff, we also do homemade meat sticks, which I'm working on some today, which are really huge sellers. Today I'm doing some jalapeno cheddar meat sticks.
That's what I brought home. Those were good.
Yeah, those are good. And some teriyaki meat sticks and probably some truffle ones because that's a big seller as well. And besides that, like you said, the meat case is just amazing. Just to come here for the meat alone is worth it. But we do have a great wine selection, as you stated, and lots of little fancy knickknacks, you know, for the tourists.
So if you
hopefully the color tour will be great this year.
If you just tuned in, you're listening to The Grilling Guys, and we are live talking with Tom Grant, who's the pitmaster for Butcher Bayside Market. He's actually the butcher there as well, but he's wearing two hats. A warmer one,
yep.
A warmer one outside.
Hey, Tom, how can people find you? Where are you guys located in Traverse City?
We are located on US 31, almost across from the state park. The best location, people usually know where Pirate's Cove is. We are right down the road from that and right next to Red Mesa Grill.
Yeah, it's
we're not on the bay side. We're across from the bay, but it's a great location, easy to get in and out of, lots of parking in the back.
I know right where you are. Yep, I was up there two or three weekends ago, and we stayed at Grand Traverse, and we ate at the Red Mesa Grill, so I know exactly where you are. I should have stopped in, but it was in the evening when we blew through there, so... but anyway,
now you know. Pop in for a quick peek around and grab some meat or some wine, and you know.
Tell me about your meat counter. Are you doing fresh cut steaks and pork and chicken and the whole deal?
Yep, we're doing the whole deal. We don't have a huge selection. We just have the high end or the more high end stuff. We do have some hanger steaks and some tri tips and some flank steaks, but it's basically filet mignon, porterhouse, T-bone, New York strip, ribeye, and top sirloin. We also do bone-in ribeye. And everything's cut usually about an inch and a half to 2 inches thick because nobody wants a steak that's going to kind of fold up on you as you're cooking it.
Right. So tell us
I hate that.
Tell everybody what a hanger steak is.
A hanger steak, that is a butcher's cut, actually. It's a, people think it's just a cheap cut of meat, but actually if you cook that on your grill hot and fast with some nice seasoning, it turns out it just melts in your mouth.
Where's that come from on the cow?
Oh, that's a really good question. Thanks for stumping me on that one.
Well, just ask for a hanger steak. Is it something like a flank or a skirt?
Yeah, once in a while we'll do the skirt steaks, but yeah, we always have flank and we always have tri-tips in there, and believe it or not, those sell like crazy here as well.
Yeah, tri-tips are amazing.
Right.
They are. That's a good cut. Now, we do have fresh local pork from Sanders over here Yuba.
How about buffalo?
And, no buffalo as of yet. I mean, I'm sure, like I said, I've only been here a couple of months, and I haven't seen any yet. So that's something I would have to speak with Dan about as far as getting something like that in.
Any tips for these guys who are trying to make their own meat sticks or sausage?
You know, first of all, you have to go by the recipe because you can over-season it so easily. Now we put cure in ours, obviously, because so that way we can get a 90-day shelf life out of it,
right,
in the freezer, and a 30-day outside of the freezer. I guess if you're making it at home and you're consuming it fast, you really don't need the cure.
Yeah, you can use sea salt and celery salt. That's a natural cure, but yeah, a lot of people don't want the nitrates in it.
I think the best tip is to go to a Butcher's Bayside Market and buy sticks.
That's right.
Yeah, why not just make it easy on yourself? Let me do all the work, and you just enjoy it.
Right.
Grab yourself a six-pack or whatnot and some meat sticks and enjoy.
I like this guy.
And if you go up for the wine tour, make sure you rent one of those cool little buses because they'll drive you everywhere, and it makes the day wonderful.
Right. Drive through at the Bayside, right?
That's
right. Exactly.
That's not a bad idea. During the pandemic, you know, when everything was shut down, we did a lot of curbside service and delivery, too. We did a lot of delivery, which people really appreciated a lot.
Well, listen, make sure that you hit Butcher Bayside Market and stop in and say hi to Tom Grant. Tom, great to meet you, and thanks for joining us.
Hey, Bob, it was great talking to you. I appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
Coming up next, bye-bye. We're going to do a little bit camp food. We're going to keep on that train. I got a lot to talk about. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
I am a guy, and I like fire.
The Grilling Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We just had a nice conversation with Tom Grant from the Butcher's Bayside Market up in Traverse City. Turns out I drove by it. Bob actually stopped. And if you're listening to us in the northern Michigan market there on the west side of the state, make sure you stop in and see that guy. Sounds like he's got a great little gig going.
Yeah, and I never knew him before, but I've been going to that market for decades because it's been there a long time. And
sure.
It's so accommodating, you know, to have a nice beer selection and meat.
Right, right.
What else do you need?
So last weekend I went up to the UP, a little bit of fall travel, and went up there to salmon fish. Caught one slightly aged king in the river, so we decided that we didn't really want to chase those too much, and we did keep the one, and I got some fillet.
You didn't go out on the lake?
No, we did not.
They were all
little choppy.
Okay.
They were out of the lake and in the rivers already. Mm. But we did go to a couple piers and fished for pike and caught three or four nice little pike. I threw them all back, but, you know, it was fun.
Did the pink run up before the king?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And they were gone. They had disappeared. But, you know, the mouth of the rivers, there's lots of guys where they're coming out of the lake. Into the rivers, there were lots of guys fishing up there when we rolled through. But anyway, I like to make a smoked salmon dip. So you can smoke your salmon fillet to the normal tenderness. That's one ingredient. I take cream cheese, and I buy a sour cream to mix with it. It's about four parts cream cheese, one part sour cream, depending on how big your batch is going to be.
Right.
And then I put fresh dill, minced up, is about as tiny as you can get it. You just want a green fleck through there, but it adds such a wonderful flavor. Lemon and capers, and then I'll put a little garlic powder in it as well.
So you stir the capers in?
Right. I do
stir
the capers in.
Instead of putting them on top of your cracker.
And I stir all that mixture X of the salmon and get it all mixed together smoothly. And I don't want it like to
tear apart.
And then I'll just fold the salmon in that's smoked. And you got nice chunks of salmon with
much
that
better
dip
presentation.
Yeah. And just, you know, and you can reserve some of the capers and sprinkle them on top. And
maybe some chopped green onion.
Yep. Or red onion is really good in it as well. Either one of those. Yeah. So easy little dip. But again, the key is the consistency. It can't be so hard when it's cold like sour or cream cheese is. So the sour cream loosens it up a little bit.
Right.
And again, it's about four times to one. But anyway.
So maybe get some baguette.
Yeah,
Slice up some little toast.
If you're going to do it with a cracker, I would recommend you put a knife in it because it's you're going to bust crackers in the dip
and
bogue it out for everybody. But
I love getting a nice loaf of baguette and toasting it up in the oven briefly.
Right. Yep.
And then just slicing it into nice little pieces. Ooh, it's so good.
Right, exactly.
Brad from Garrett's makes a beautiful salmon dip.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the best, no offense, but best I've ever had.
Well, that's because you've not eaten mine. That's all the reason, huh?
I'm pretty sure his will beat yours. Plus, he has lots of bourbon.
Who's your daddy? Yeah. Anyway, so you want to talk a little bit about some stew maybe, huh?
Well, I think a few of us, like I have a little bit of venison in the freezer, and it's a year old.
Right.
So why not take it to deer camp and throw it in a pot, your Dutch oven. Now's when you get to pull out that big old piece of cast.
Right.
Bring your I love buying these little beautiful potatoes.
Right.
You can get the real dinky ones, or there's several varietals you can get.
Right.
But throw those in.
Ones that are about a golf ball size.
And some Spanish onion. Some whole carrots, and I get the organic carrots, and
those are the ones that come out of dirt.
And I always
aren't they all organic?
I always bring up a box of Swanson's beef broth.
Sure.
And then I'll just bring up a couple packets of McCormick's brown gravy mix or beef gravy mix.
Okay.
And when it's all done, I stir in that gravy mix, and it just thickens up beautifully, and bang, you're done.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, especially when it's getting colder, when you come out of your tree stand and your stomach's growling, a nice bowl of stew it's something else.
Right.
I mean, everybody likes stew.
And what cut of meat are you going to use? Any you have left?
Whatever the venison is in the freezer.
Boneless, though.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right. But
you could throw a neck in there if you wanted.
Roast or whatever it may be, because... And that's going to be, again, that 3 or 4 hours. You're going to set it beside the fire. Sometimes your Dutch oven has the capability of putting heat on top, right? And I don't know if you wanted to do that or not, depending on how long you wanted it. Obviously, with the heat on top, it's going to cook a little quicker than if it weren't. But
it's
setting that right beside the fire again and getting that radiant
heat. Well, I'm going to probably dig a little hole and take my shovel and grab some coals and set it on its own right next to it. And you want to set it right next to the fire so somebody doesn't trip over it.
Right. But
and then when you pull the pot off, put dirt back on that hole because somebody might step in it.
But the hole had coals in it, and then you set the Dutch oven right on top of the coals.
Yeah, I'm going to take my shovel and pull some coals out of that fire and set it in there. And then I'm going to set some coals on the lid like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, in 2 hours, it's done.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's just beautiful. And if you don't put your gravy mix in right away and you just have that broth... that venison, depending on the cut, if it's a junk cut, and if it's in the freezer yet, it's probably a junk cut.
So, yeah, you ate the good ones already.
So it's a great way to do that. And you might want to throw a little Worcestershire in, maybe whatever your favorite little seasonings are. I'm a big thyme fan. So he put thyme. Tom was talking about putting thyme in one of his mixes. I love thyme. It's just one of those European profiles I've grown fond of, and
a little bit goes a long way with me, man.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't mind a hint of it, but I don't want to be very forward with the time, just because it's just a strong
only daylight savings time.
Right?
You go forward
fallback. Yeah, spring ahead, fallback. Right? Yeah,
sorry,
that's the way it's going to work.
Yeah, and so something else you can do with it is, of course, You can put that meat and onion and celery and everything in that pot. Let it simmer while you're gone. And then you can just bring some chili mix, a couple cans of chili beans. You can buy them pre-spiced.
Sure.
Because you're deer camp. You don't want to play gourmet. I mean, you can, like if you've got Jop around to do your cooking for you.
Yeah, because Jop's not out in the woods. I'm just staying back
camping.
Everybody
else is in a tree stand. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, they're going to be wanting to giddy up. I'm a chili freak. I love having chili. You can buy Billy Bones chili mix. It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. You can get that at Sobey Meats, and it's all pre-mixed. You can just throw it in there. And when I do chili, I like to throw some Great Northern, some Pinot, and the light and dark kidney, and some Negro in there. And
right.
And then get the black beans. And
I love beans in my chili.
So that's good.
Yeah, they're good to keep you warm at night in a sleeping bag, too. So that works
and
out
that's
just right.
Another type of Dutch oven.
Yeah. But, hey, Bob, one of the things I'm going to be bringing to camp later this week is some smoked armadillo eggs. And I know you and others that you've cooked with have made these things before.
I never have. You always make them.
Okay. I thought you had.
Nope.
But anyway, real simple. It's a jalapeno popper, really. I mean, it's a jalapeno. I core it out, and it's a cup then. It's right. It's not cut in half like a boat, but just take the top off, core it out.
Oh, I was thinking of scotch eggs.
You're right. You're right. Okay. I'm doing those too.
Okay.
But these are the jalapeno, and I fill them with a cream cheese mixture. You can put in whatever you want. Sometimes a little fruit even, maybe some crushed pineapple in with that. The sweeten
you and
the
your
heat.
Pineapple.
Sweeten the heat, man. But then I go to Sobey Meats, and I buy kielbasa.
Yes.
And I uncase it, okay?
Yes.
And I take that jalapeno, and I pack it on there like a snowball around the
meat.
The meat is around the pepper with the cream cheese
stuff. You make a grenade out of it.
Right, and then you put it on that smoker and let that thing go an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. The sausage won't dry out. It's full of meat or full of fat. But, oh, my God, those things. And they slice up so cool.
So if you're at deer camp and you're cooking on an open fire, you just get your tripod out,
right.
Set them right on there and grill them.
Right.
Because you're not always going to have a smoker at deer camp.
That's right.
Most people don't.
Right. Well, come on over. I got one. All right. Coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. I might talk a little beer cheese with you, too. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance. While you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com. Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
Today's man law. Women who claim they love to watch sports must be treated as spies until they demonstrate the knowledge of the game and the ability to pick a buffalo wing clean.
Do they have to break the buffalo wing apart, or do they just got to, you know, do it with their oral dexterity? How's that work? No rule there?
I don't even want to attempt to touch that.
All right, man. Well, we won't.
Oral dexterity.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think that's, you know, you think about it, that's really what it is. But anyway, one last thing that I'm going to be making down there at camp. And do you pronounce it Gouda or Gouda?
Depends on who you are.
Right.
But the Dutch say Gouda.
Right. It's a cheese. Anyway,
yep.
We'll call it Gouda for you people that aren't Dutch that are listening here.
How do you pronounce it?
Right. Gouda. Because I'm a Dutch guy. But anyway, you can buy this smoked Gouda cheese. And or you can smoke it yourself if you want to get on a cold smoker. But I cheated. I bought smoked cheese. And you're going to take some butter, some flour, and 3/4 of a cup of beer. Now, this is the wild card, because if you want it mild, you're going to use a lager. If you want a little zip to it, you might throw some IPA in there and just get another little flavor profile with the hops. I'm going to use M43, which is a sweeter beer that is a cloudy and kind of a, what is it? I'm lost for the word, Bob. Help me out. What style is the M43?
New England.
Yes, a New England IPA. Thank you. But it's got a little bit sweeter profile. I'm going to be using that. Some milk, some dried. You can find this on the internet. This is not my recipe, but I've made it many times. And I even put a dash of hot sauce in it to give it a little zip.
I would tell you that I would use a beer that nobody wants because it's not going to make a whole lot of difference. If somebody leaves a Miller Lite at my house or something like that, that's what's going in it.
Right.
Because you just want to get rid of it.
Right. Well, and to Bob's point, what you're trying to do is thin the cheese a little bit because you put butter, flour, and milk in there in addition to the cheese. And you want to get it so it's a dip, it's not a ball.
Right.
Right. And that's what we're looking for. And I'm probably going to throw that in a crock pot and just turn it on low and let it set all night. People go in there with a spoon, and we're going to serve it with a soft pretzel. So, and I will put those on a smoker to bake them a little bit to get them hot. And I mean, I'm not.
And you could even use a regular howdah. You could use cheddar. You wouldn't have to do smoked cheese.
Right.
But if you want a smoke profile, of course,
right.
then
yep.
you do.
But that's it.
You know, like my wife doesn't like too much smoked of anything. So
right.
I would probably just make it regular or make two of them.
Yeah. I'm a grilling guy. I want a smoky flavor, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right.
I cook for other people.
Yeah. Well, they're eating my food. Right. They expect it.
Or you're hoping half of them don't
right,
eat it.
Yeah. All right. All right, you've been listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We really appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We hope you enjoyed the show, maybe got a tip or two, and we'll talk with you next week.
See ya.